judge not, that you be not judged. Now, these words of Jesus have been misquoted and misapplied for quite some time. Pastor Jeff has this to say next.
Many are saying, well, let's get along with one another. Let's unite. Let's be one. And I think right there, that whole, this judge not can be twisted and misunderstood. And many people have misunderstood it. Because that's not a correct interpretation of what he is saying. And yet a lot of people, hey, who am I to judge, you know, right? And somebody else will remind you, who are you to judge me, you know? They'll remind you about that.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Today on Sound Doctrine, we'll be going over what may be one of the most misunderstood sections of the Sermon on the Mount. How many times have we heard someone say, judge not? It's almost always quoted out of context and is often used to condemn anyone who chooses to make judgments based on the teachings and standards of the Bible. Pastor Jeff Johnson will help us arrive at a better understanding of what Jesus is really communicating to us here in part one of Judge Yourself.
This morning we're into Matthew chapter 7, a brand new chapter, brand new section, and this is an incredible sermon we're looking at, guys. It's only 30 minutes long. I mean, at the most, if you were to read through it, you know, if you get to take your time with it. It's a bottomless well of truth. I mean, there's so much just in one verse. You could just camp out on one verse for a while. It's so deep. And yet man's sermons, I don't know, you know, they get a little shallow. You know, like a lot of people say, well, can you just give me, you know, the gist of what you were going to say, you know? You should have heard the message this morning, I say to my wife, and she said, well, give me the short version. Oh, you don't want the long version? Because I got the long, you know. No, just give me the short version. There were two women that were talking together, and one was from a Baptist church, and she said, my pastor can talk on any subject for 45 minutes. The other woman was from Calvary Chapel of Downey. And she said, that's nothing. My pastor can talk without a point for an hour and a half. But isn't it true that his word, and Jesus even said it, my word is spirit and it is life. And it's so deep. It's a continual source of living water. The theme of chapter 7 is, of course, judgment. And there are two, really, when you look at it back in the Old Testament, two tables that Moses brought down from the Mount Sinai. There was one table that was man's relationship with God. So we've been looking at it through Matthew chapter 5 and 6. That has everything to do with our relationship with God. The Beatitudes, our character, that we're to be salt, we're to be light, which I might add the church has really failed in these last days. Our behavior, our giving, our praying, our fasting, our relationship with the Father, dealing with worldliness has everything to do with our relationship with God, doesn't it? Oh, how we need to walk close to Him. Now he continues with chapter 7, and here I see the second table of the law. And of course, that is our relationship with each other, so important for the body of Christ. Now, how are we to be treating each other? How are we to be loving each other? What is our attitude to be toward one another? Good stuff. The overall thought is that God sees. And I think that's an important thought to keep with us always. In fact, that's something that should be in all of our bedrooms and cars and whatever. Just that thought of, you know, God sees everything. Because he does. And yet, we're pilgrims and we get this idea, and he continues to impress upon us that only what's done for Christ is going to last, and there is two worlds going on. There's an eternity coming. We're reminded of this, that it is appointed unto man once to die, but then comes the judgment, and really this life has been given to us to get it right. Get right with the Lord so we can spend eternity with him and in his love. So to be heavenly minded is definitely to be more earthly good. And that's why we're here this morning. Lord, help us to be more like you. Apprehend our hearts and our minds. Eyes on the unseen affect us in the now. It affects us how we speak and how we talk and what we do and what we don't do. Remember over in Hebrews 11, it says in verse 27 that Moses was able to handle Egypt, and he was able to not really fear the wrath of the king or the Pharaoh, but he endured, and it says, as seeing him who is invisible. He had his eyes upon the Lord. God's people walk with eternity on their minds. I love what Paul says to those in Corinth. He says in Second Corinthians 4 in verse 17, he says, for our light affliction is but for a moment. It works us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So we start to look at what we go through here in light of what we're going to experience there, and it changes our attitude. It changes our way of living and our way of thinking. And we know this, that we're in his presence now, let alone later. 2 Corinthians 5, he says in verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. Now, knowing that we're therefore the terror of the Lord, that this is really going to happen, we persuade men. We're motivated by this fact that the Lord is absolutely faithful to his word. And what he says he means, and what he means he says. Again, this sermon that we're going through is impossible to obey without having Christ in us. So what we're dealing with here and what we're talking about here is you can't be obedient. You can't really understand and comprehend and experience this sermon unless you do know the Lord. So our prayer for you, for those that do not know the Lord this morning, is that you will come into this incredible realm of being a child of God, walking in his promises. This is very searching. It's very convicting. It's very life-changing. Let's look at it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, as Jesus now continues this incredible sermon, judge not that ye be not judged. I like that song we sang this morning. You get the point. Judge not. So as we walk, as we live in this world, it's under a sense of judgment. It's an attitude, is what he's trying to get through to us. He says, judge not. Now, as earlier, Jesus would always, first of all, present the principle, what he wants to teach on. And then after presenting the principle, he goes on to illustrate and give us various illustrations on how it's to be carried out. And in this instance, he's going to give us reasons why not to judge. And he's going to lay it out for us and expound it for us so we really get the message. So judge not. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that we're just not to judge? As one guy said, well, that's the reason why we're not to have courts. We're not to have law. We're not to have judges because of what the Bible says, judge not. That's bizarre, right? Is that what it means, judge? Well, in the Greek, the meaning of the word here means condemnation. Don't bring condemnation down upon others. Don't condemn others. Of course, we're going to find out the reason for that is that we don't know their their heart. We don't know their motives. So who are we to condemn others, to make the final say? Now, in the past, men judged a man who stood for his principles as an impossible creature. You know, they would say, well, he's just impossible to work with. He's hard to get along with. I know I've been reading a biography, actually just kind of a look at Winston Churchill as far as the book's title is Churchill on Leadership. Here is a man of principle, Winston Churchill. Man, he stood his ground in the midst of all kinds of chaos. This man stood up for his principles. And many would say, of course, that he was a hard guy to get along with. Yeah, he's difficult. He's non-cooperative. You know, he's not a team player. Or he's not politically correct. You know, see, if you're politically correct today, then you're praised. You're one of the buddies, you know. Hey, listen, don't rock the ship, guys say. They say, hey, let's be careful, and let's try to be, as a church, user-friendly. So when people come in, just, you know, hold back on carrying your Bibles. It might convict somebody. Or let's not talk about sin, that three-letter word. Ooh, no. Or judgment. Let's don't talk about that. Because that kind of turns people off. So let's give it other terms. Let's water it down a bit so we don't offend anyone. Let's bring peace and let's bring ease to those around us. And hey, judge not. So by saying nothing, many are saying, well, Lamont, let's get along with one another. Let's unite. Let's be one. And I think right there, that whole, this judge not can be twisted and misunderstood. And many people have misunderstood it. Because that's not a correct interpretation of what he is saying. And yet a lot of people, hey, who am I to judge? You know, right? And somebody else will remind you, who are you to judge me? You know, they'll remind you about that. Over in 2 Corinthians 6:14, it talks about, what fellowship has light with darkness? What are you talking about? You can't judge anybody or make a decision about anything. What fellowship has those that are unequally yoked, you know? I mean, you don't have any fellowship with a non-believer. What are you doing dating somebody that doesn't love the Lord as you love the Lord? There's no fellowship there. That's why when it comes to gay lifestyles and homosexuality, why are Christians so, you know, come on, can't we all get along? Let's work together. Come on. No, it's not biblical. It's sin. It's like any other sin, but it's still sin. And that's why we might not be politically correct, but we're sticking to our word and we're going to stay right there. And we're still going to say, no, you need the Lord. You need to give this situation to the Lord, and God can save you and deliver you. And no, you're not going to teach at this school. Sorry. Whatever the government says, like, haul us away. But it's just not right, okay? You say, well, you're judging. Well, yeah. But we're judging according to the Word of God. If you look at verse 6 for a moment, chapter 7, verse 6, he says, give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. We'll look at this verse later on, but doesn't this take judgment? Hey, don't give your, you know, those things holy to dogs. I mean, you have to judge, is that a dog? Or is that a, you know, swine? Then don't give it. That's judgment, right? Then look over at verse 15, interesting verse. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are what? Raving wolves. That takes a judgment too, doesn't it? Uh-uh, you're a false prophet. You got to judge. And then look at verse 16. Ye shall know them by what? Their fruits. So we are to judge, aren't we? Judge by the fruit that we see. And if there's no fruit, we make a judgment, don't we? And so we're to be fruit inspectors, so to speak, because God is. He checks the fruit. So should we. And there's that scripture, open rebuke is better than silent love. And I think we need to think about that, because a lot of times we say, oh, I'm not going to say anything. You know, I'm just going to love them. You know, but yet the scripture encourages us to come against it, to talk about it, to deal with it. Yes, we are to judge. It is a biblical requirement. In fact, Jesus over in chapter 5 and verse 20 says, listen, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. How is our righteousness exceeding it? You're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Is our righteousness exceeding it? Then we would be then being able to judge. And then he says in verse 47 of chapter 5, what do you more than others? Are you doing something more than others do? Yeah, I'm checking out the fruit. Judging everything by the word of God. Yes, there is to be church discipline, even though it is non-existent today within the church. And it's pretty much non-existent today because you don't hear about it. It's not being done. But it is needed, isn't it? Over in Romans chapter 16, you might want to jot some of these down so you can look them up later on. But Paul talking to those in Rome about this whole issue of church discipline, he said in Romans 16, 17, now I beg of you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Who are you to judge? Those that go against the scripture? Those who are in fornication, having sex outside of marriage? You say, well, how can you judge them? Well, no, the Bible already judges them. We're just bringing it to light and trying to share with them, hey, we're to even avoid the appearance of evil. Maybe you guys shouldn't be living together because of the scripture. Jeremiah, we've been going through on Wednesday nights in Jeremiah 26. If you really want to get into prophecy, the power of prophecy, but also what is a false prophet, and get that whole look into false prophets and understand how you can judge them and that God judges them, you might want to pick that tape up on Jeremiah 26. Galatians 1, Paul says, though we are an angel, gives you any other gospel, let him be accursed. And he says it twice. That's a judgment. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 17, listen to what Paul says here. He says, and their word will eat as doth a canker, as like gangrene, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. And then over in Titus chapter 3 and verse 10, he says, a man that is a heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject him. So that's a judgment call. Over in 2 John chapter 10, he says, and verse 11 also, if there come anyone to you unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. You know those guys with ties and briefcases? For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. You know? I mean, that's pretty heavy. Bringing around false doctrines. But doesn't the Bible tell us we're to love our brothers? Yes, it does. To a point. Paul named guys. And so I know some people get upset when I sometimes will mention somebody's name that's a local personality or somebody. They get all shook up. But the reason I mention their names is to warn you of this individual. So Paul named individuals. So we are to judge. Over in John's Gospel 7:24, Jesus said this, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And then, of course, there is Matthew 18, and I think this is the scripture that is needed so much for the body of Christ, and that where it just simply says in Matthew 18:15, if your brother trespasses against you, go tell him his fault and confront him alone. And if it doesn't change the situation, but if it does, you've gained a brother. If it doesn't change, you bring another brother or another sister to that sister or brother, and you confront them by two of you saying, you know what, we've seen this in your life, and it's really upset us, and you've stumbled us, let alone what the scripture says, and we're just here to, in meekness, to get you back into fellowship and to show you that where you're going is wrong. And then if it still doesn't change, he takes it one step further and says, then bring it before the church and let the church deal with it. And sometimes individuals are asked to leave. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we have a situation where this individual is living in immorality. And it says, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in that day of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you just tell them to leave your fellowship. And then he goes on in 1 Corinthians 5 verse 12 and says, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not you judge them that are within? But them that are without God judges. Therefore, put away from among you yourselves that wicked person. So if someone is going to continue on in sin, he's to be asked to leave the fellowship. That's heavy. You say, Jeff, you've done this? We do it a lot. Not, you know, like every week, but it's been done a lot here. Why? Because there are those that are spots that come in as a cancer within the body to cause problems. Do you think that we not, you know, give them grace and mercy? No, we give them more mercy and grace that we can, because hey, we know ourselves that it could be us on that place. But we give them so much, and then it goes to the point where you just gotta have to leave because you're not listening. And you're upsetting people, and people are being hurt by your presence. All these take judgment. It's not don't judge, but he's saying don't condemn the individual. In other words, that kind of spirit that brings condemnation is a very critical, destructive spirit. We don't know, again, their hearts and their motives, so we can't judge them that way to condemn them once and for all. Over in Luke 18, verse 11, remember the Pharisee saying, I'm glad that I'm not like this publican here. You know, he didn't know the guy's heart. He didn't. He just looked at him like a publican, you know. And he says, I'm glad I do this and I'm glad I do that. And Jesus says, and then as the publican hits his chest and hits the ground and said, God, forgive me, a sinner. I mean, Jesus said his prayers were heard, not the Pharisees. Because he had that critical spirit. He was just judging men and not knowing their motive or their heart. It's wrong. And this critical spirit is in the church today. And if not apprehended, it will cannibalize the church. What do you mean? Well, everybody will be picking on everybody and judging everybody, and it just destroys a church. It's horrible. And some of you have come from churches that entered into that, and it's a horrible thing to see, let alone experience. The scripture says, Paul talking, we're not to compare ourselves with others because that's not wise. And then Jesus saying, remember this? He that is without sin, you cast the first stone. Go ahead. And the only one on that in that position there at that situation was Jesus because he was righteous, right? And he was the only one qualified to really throw the stone. If anybody's going to throw the stone, it's going to be the one qualified to throw it. And it was Jesus. And he didn't do it. He forgave him. Isn't that great?
It most certainly is. And on that note, we'll draw another sound doctrine to a close. Pastor Jeff Johnson will share the rest of his message, Judge Yourself, on our next program. Well, as we close up shop, let me tell you how to hear these studies in Matthew again, and even catch what you may have missed in the series. They're available right now at sounddoctrineradio.org. That's at sounddoctrineradio.org. We also offer a free app and podcast. Look for Sound Doctrine Podcast. And we're at oneplace.com. We can also send you a CD copy of this message for a suggested donation of $5 when you call 800-353-7553. At Sound Doctrine, we're committed to teaching God's Word verse by verse, but we can't do it alone. We rely on the Lord and the faithful support of our listeners as we come to you day by day. And if you'd like to help people all over the world have access to Sound Doctrine, you can make a secure donation at sounddoctrineradio.org. And while you're at it, you might want to request Pastor Jeff's book, An Exhortation from the Shepherd's Heart. This is a commentary on 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. the Apostle Paul wrote a personal letter to two pastors that he personally instructed, loved, and planted churches with. We have the privilege to read these wonderful exhortations in God's Word. Pastor Jeff wrote this commentary from the perspective of a shepherd, with a heart for future pastors. It contains helpful commentary, illustrations, and detailed application too. Get a copy by going online today to sounddoctrineradio.org. Then click on Store. Or we can take your request when you call toll-free 800-353-7553. And please, if you would, include a little extra to help us continue this ministry. We'd be ever so grateful. Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff is a presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey. We'll catch you back here next time when we'll return to the Gospel of Matthew. So, Father.